Pearl, if I get when a coach has to back up their guy, I'm not exactly sure, though, why John Harbaugh feels like he needs to defend Lamar Jackson's ability to be a passer. Welcome to the show, by the way. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So John Harbaugh saying that Lamar Jackson will be remembered as one of the greatest passers of all time. And to be honest, like, didn't really compute that way in my head when I think of Lamar Jackson and all of his amazing skills. He is a great passer. That's not the first couple things I think of, though.
Well, it's just, first of all, he wasn't defending. He was just stating. Nobody's claiming he's not a great passer now. I mean, even you, if we're talking, he's obviously effective as a passer now. But I think Harbaugh's point was really relevant. Where he's come as a passer statistically is unbelievable. I mean, it's gone up 10% every year, right?
Yeah, it's
last year was by far his best year.
Yeah, I mean, the second year in the league when he won his first MVP, he had a very high passer rating. It was like 113, right, which is much above average. Average like 90. Here's John Harbaugh, though, when he says Lamar is a historically great passer.
He is a historically good passer. And that's really quite a statement because of the narrative that's been surrounding him ever since the beginning. Lamar Jackson can throw the football. He can throw it every kind of way. He can make every kind of throw any kind of way you want. He's as good as any guy, any passer that there's ever been. And I think now the numbers are proving that.
Okay, so that was the This Is Football podcast. Yeah, I guess when I say yes and defend it, I think because what John was just saying there, the narrative is that he's not this great passer.
Right.
And yes, he has gotten a lot better every year. But, I mean, we have a lot more to go with Lamar. Maybe when all is said and done, I will think of him that way. But right now, I'm going to be honest, I'm with that other part of the crowd that really thinks of other people who are historically great passers or good passers, whatever he said, before I get to Lamar Jackson.
So I think you're talking about Tom Brady, Peyton
Manning,
Rodgers. Right, but I think like his numbers are going to end up stacking up passing-wise right with last year's numbers are just as good as any Brady Manning season. I mean, maybe the 55 touchdowns. Right, did Manning have 55 touchdowns one season? But look, so Lamar never even sniffed 4,000 yards. Last year, 4,172 passing yards, way over where he's been. 41 touchdowns, 4 picks. I think that's what Harbaugh is.
That was historic.
Yeah,
he's the first quarterback ever to have 40 touchdowns and fewer than 5 interceptions.
Right, right. So I think that's what Harbaugh is getting at. And that gives you this massive passer rating and massive QBR. So the thing about Lamar Jackson, I will give you this. One of the reasons he's such a great passer is because he's such a good runner.
Right.
Because you can't really play man on him because if the cornerback and the safety start turning their back, oof, they're in big trouble.
Right.
So you have to always think about him running when you're trying to stop him passing. But now he's kind of a dual threat. Like he's so good passing. He makes so many good decisions. And the thing about him, it still doesn't look like classic. His throwing style is not like your classic throwing style. But then 30 yards downfield, he gets into the tightest windows. Like everything is, his passing is unbelievable.
I'm going to tell you exactly why people like me, at least right now, don't think of Lamar Jackson as a historically good passer. And it's because of his playoff performances. And, you know, this is something that's going to follow Lamar like every great player who wins MVPs and has no championships. Haters. Yeah. People like me.
I knew that was coming.
And maybe I deserve it, but until you win a title, we do this in the NBA all the time, Giannis, Jokic, these guys who have multiple MVPs, and until they win, there's this certain kind of hot seat that they are on that other people who have won are not. And so Lamar Jackson, you know, all-time passer rating last year, leads the league, 117, you know, however they calculate this stuff. His playoff passer rating is 84. You know, the average is 90. So, you know, he's thrown 10 touchdowns and 7 interceptions in the playoffs. That's not 40 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, which is gaudy and historic. 10-7. His yards per attempt in the playoffs is 7.3. That's not the 13 yards per attempt that he's enjoying in the regular season. And he's had 2 entire playoff games where he threw no touchdowns, 0 touchdown passes in the biggest games that everyone is watching. So I think that's where he falls into the narrative, and that's where I kind of follow the crowd, if you will, to say, is he historically great if he's not doing against the best defenses?
Can I tell you a story about a couple other quarterbacks who have terrible passer ratings in the postseason?
Well, okay, but if you're going to, I know who you're going to go to.
I don't think you do.
Okay, go ahead.
Tom Brady.
I thought you were going to go Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Because you got to take off some of the first years.
Well, Brady, to Peyton Manning, 87.4, and Tom Brady is 89.8. Because think about Brady's great playoff games. The two Giants games, he was not good.
No.
And then the 13-3 win over the Rams, he was not great.
Zero touchdowns in that Super Bowl.
He did. He was able to pad his stats against my Eagles, but they lost the game. So every quarterback, and Dan Marino famously, after his Super Bowl trip in his second year, clearly came up short in the playoffs. So I don't think that Lamar is that far beneath the other all-time great passers.
Okay, but see, the one thing about Brady and where you can't even put Lamar and Brady in the same conversation is, and I'm going to go like sitting on the bar stool watching, you know, a playoff game, you and I together as friends, Brady got it done in the clutch in the postseason. That's it. That's why he's different. He made the throws that had to happen. He led the drives that got Adam Vinatieri in position to make those game-winning kicks early in his career, and then he was even better later in his career.
Think about Tom Brady's most famous drives. The first one was
Atlanta Falcon. Oh, sorry.
Well, I was just saying, a screen pass to Kevin Falk against the Rams. That wasn't like, he was not an elite passer at that. We're talking about greatest passers.
Yeah.
That was early Tom Brady. The team won with special teams and defense. And then the Julian Edelman play against Atlanta.
Yep. All-time catch.
Yeah, it was an all-time catch. I just think that playoffs gets hard, and even the greatest quarterback of all time struggled. And you know who else has struggled in a few Super Bowl games? Let's bring in the other GOAT, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
He's been amazing in some, but he has definitely struggled. I think of the two Super Bowl losses, he was terrible.
Yeah, but he still has the W. I saw Patrick Mahomes in overtime trailing against San Francisco and went on to lead that comeback. I saw him again against San Francisco, trailing by 10 points in the fourth quarter, leading a comeback, making the throws. I haven't seen that from Lamar yet. So if you have guys who maybe their passer rating isn't as good, or is maybe lower than you think, like a Tom Brady or someone like that, but yet, what have we seen in the biggest moments? And for Lamar, you have a guy who doesn't have a great passer rating in the postseason, and we have not seen the great moments. He does not have a 13 seconds game even, where he's on the losing end of it, but he played so incredibly well. It's like, two warriors just sort of like boxers at the end of a fight. Last year against the Bills was probably one of the closest things. They did make a great comeback at the end, and Mark Andrews dropped a two-point conversion.
Yeah, I mean, a weird game. You have to admit the field was part of the factor.
Listen, it's football, dude. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not giving Lamar a pass because he's an outdoor quarterback who has to play outdoor football in January.
But this conversation is not about winning. It's who's the greatest passer, you know. And Lamar's passing stats are getting, I assume that they keep on trending up, are getting right up there with all those other guys. So I feel like that does not feel like a hot take from John Harbaugh at all. I know I understand it's a little weird because, right, this is his first 4,000-yard passing season in his entire career.
Right.
He never has passed the volume of these other guys, but still his efficiency is now insane. And that points to not only his ability with his arm, but his decision-making is on point now. I understand the winning in the playoffs has not followed, but the other, you know, Peyton Manning's a great example. It took forever to get to that point, and maybe Lamar will get there.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest things that hurt Lamar Jackson, as far as like you can do all these amazing things and then you'll have one game, that the home loss to Kansas City in the AFC Championship game is one that I don't think he has gotten the stink off of him. They were favored in that game by 4.5 points, I think, is where that ended. I don't know why I have that in my head. They lost 17-10. He was 20 of 37, so it's barely a 54% completion percentage, which that takes two to tango. One touchdown, one passing touchdown, and an interception. Took 4 sacks in that game.
How many yards?
His yards were not bad, 272.
Yeah, I mean, that's funny.
You put up 10 points, though. So what are all those yards get you?
What was the narrative of that game? Why didn't Lamar run in that game? It's an irony. Yeah. For some reason, they thought
lost a fumble in that game.
They thought they had an edge with the passing game, and Lamar did not take off. And he even talked about the next season. He said, I had a great regret that I didn't run more in that game.
He only averaged 6.8 yards per attempt in that game, and that was not a terrible weather game. It might have been cold, but that was not windy, rainy, da-da-da.
Yeah, but I'm just saying the irony of that game is what Lamar did not use his superpower in that game. That was the first thing he said. He's like, and he looks back on it. He's talked about it multiple times. I should have run more in that game. So again, it doesn't, I know what you're saying. It was not a great game, but it doesn't totally invalidate what Harbaugh is saying about his ability as a passer.
Can I just tell you something? It's a little bit of a trend here as far as his rushing attempts are concerned. And you always say running quarterbacks, we're talking about Lamar Jackson, of course, John Harbaugh saying he's going to be remembered as an all-time great passer. when he gets to the second game of the playoffs, right? So can I just give you, 2021, they beat Tennessee in the first round. Then they go to Buffalo. Now, to be fair, he did get banged up in that game, had to leave at one point, but 9 rushing attempts for 34 yards.
Didn't he leave with a concussion?
But he came back.
Oh, he came back in that game?
I'm like 99% sure, yes. Then in 2020, then he has 2 years where he's injured. So then 2024, they beat Houston in their first game, 34-10. Then they play Kansas City in the AFC Championship game. He had 8 rushing attempts for 54 yards. Same thing happened last year. They beat Pittsburgh. He has 15 rushing attempts for 81 yards. The next game, the divisional round, 6 attempts for 39 yards. This is now a thing. When he gets to that second playoff game, the rushing attempts just disappear.
Wait, 54 yards in a second? That's pretty good, right?
8 for 54?
If he averaged 54 yards, that's not bad. That probably went over on the bet.
Against Houston, he had 11 for 100. It is Lamar Jackson. When he played Tennessee in 2021, he had 16 rushing attempts for 136 yards. Like, we got to, adjust for who he is, no?
Absolutely. I mean, it is a really interesting point, but it gets off the debate. Is Lamar Jackson an all-time passer?
Yeah.
And
I'm saying he's forced to be a passer in these later playoff games, and they're losing.
Oh, yeah. Well, if I was playing Lamar Jackson, because this is like the game of the year, so you have to spy him. That's the thing. And
they're asking him to become a passer, and he's can't get into the AFC Championship.
Same thing happens.
Can't get to the next round.
Same thing happens. I mean, listen, you're facing more. That's why Brady's numbers go way down in the playoffs. That's why Peyton's numbers go way down in the playoffs. But that being said, I still think there have been great throws in the playoffs. He's going to get there. He's 28. I'm telling you, that guy's going to win a Super Bowl.
Well, I hope so. I mean, he's a two-time MVP. It would be a glaring, glaring omission from his resume. I mean, I think even more than Allen, like, he's got to win to validate this career, which maybe is, unfair to him and ring culture or whatever, but I think it's absolutely true. We're asking you today, will Lamar Jackson be remembered as one of the great passers of his generation? And we are in a great generation of passers. We really are. I mean, I think Mahomes, obviously, Allen, Burrow, Justin Herbert even, and, there are guys who have not won yet, but the passing is out of control.
Well, it's
He's
funny,
even
though,
playing in an era with Matthew Stafford. They're overlapping, who's a great passer.
It is funny, too. Didn't Josh Allen's passing stats go way down last year? I feel like and Herbert's stats went way down. So Herbert is no longer going to be a high-volume passer. It's interesting.
The thing about Herbert is I always defer to the guys in the game who have this fascination, obsession with Herbert. He's like your favorite quarterback's favorite quarterback. That's always how he came across to me, which is why I put him always in that group.
Josh Allen's passing stats fell by about 20% last year, too.
Yeah, who's he throwing to?
It's because the Bills said we are going to win more games by running. So it is, again, it's just if Lamar Jackson keeps on going in this trajectory, he is going to break every passing record as far as touchdown to interception differential. He's going to be incredible. Now, I don't know if he can repeat it this year. We already had an injury with Isaiah Likely, but I just think the way he is under Todd Monken's offense, it feels like he's going to really have elite passing numbers. I think Allen's going the other way. Allen wants to hand the ball off more, which is probably smart. Mahomes definitely doesn't want to pass anymore. Have you noticed that? Like, his numbers are tanking. And Justin Herbert's in L.A., Harbaugh's not going to let him pass the ball. So I think Lamar is going to actually probably have, he might like be the best passer in the league by a large distance this year.
Will Lamar Jackson be remembered as one of the great passers of this generation? Let us know, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. That was something that caught our eye yesterday. We also have a trade request in the NFL. Is this real, or is this just something out of the contract holdout playbook? We'll tell you next, M&P.
You're a little bit too old to watch cars, but anyway.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff. Best Hall of Fame game ever last night, by the way.
Can we just agree? Dynamite.
it was the Hawkeye technology on the first downs is the greatest thing I've ever seen. I'm 100% used to it. I don't know how on earth we ever lived without the virtual little tennis animation.
I know. It's like not living with the yellow first down line anymore. It's like, what was society? Like, were we in cave people?
It's a before and after. But by the way, it's still, they're guessing where to put the ball down, so there's still not perfect technology.
But it happened fast. Like, that was, I was really impressed. So was Chris Collinsworth last night. Couldn't stop talking about it. But he was right that it was quick. You couldn't tell exactly. They challenged the first down line. It goes to the Hawkeye. I wasn't ready for Collinsworth last night. He was full Collinsworth. Like, yeah, it's always disorienting to hear that on July 31st. But it was fast. It was perfect.
Sorry, did they? I'm a little confused. Did they challenge that, or did they just use it because it was close?
Oh, I thought that was there not a challenge.
I thought
that Dan Campbell was challenging the first down line. Oh, maybe no, they just called for it.
I think that was
booth?
An official review.
Oh, they were just trying to test it out.
Okay. Yeah, that's because Mike Tirico said the officials knew it was a first down, but wanted to use it anyway. It's like a new toy.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I found out that I've been saying Isaac Tesla's name wrong all the time.
Yeah, it's Tesla.
Yeah, and he's like a human pogo stick. That guy's going to be great. And our guy Trey Lance, superstar. The bus talk. Let's go.
We talked about whether Trey Lance is one of the busts of the last 25 years yesterday. Turns out he looked to me like a very competent backup quarterback. He's got a future in this league as a backup.
What I said yesterday was true. He can't call him a bust because you'd never seen him. He threw more passes last night than he did in his entire career.
All right, I'm going to be honest, though. Yeah. I was watching this Trey Lance, you know, the game starts off and Detroit, you know, fumbles on the opening kickoff. And he goes out there for the Chargers and starts leading the drive. And I only found out until later that Detroit was playing none of their first team guys.
Oh, of course. Right, it was a Hall of Fame game.
I know. But I was like, all right, these are all deep backups. But, you know, Lance looked like a good backup QB to me.
Just Trey Lance is an unknown. He finally got a starting job and had a devastating injury. So in his second game. So I just think all the Trey Lance, he's not a bust because we got to see about 10 awful games to call him a bust. Anyway, last night he looked amazing. Chargers uniform, superb, Hall of Fame interviews. Usually I can't stand the Hall of Fame. I think we saw more names last night than normal. Amarian Hampton got in there. It was pretty great. But anyway.
I have a thought on that. I really wish that Jared Allen would consider going into media.
Oh, yeah.
He's so funny.
He does not care, though.
No, he doesn't care. But he's funny. You know, Jared Allen, obviously, the defensive end. He's amazing. As a player, of course, he's in the Hall of Fame, but he has the gravitas. He's just a funny, comfortable on-camera dude.
Yeah, but it's you know, Canton, Ohio, it's 110 degrees. Everybody's relaxed in that situation. Even Antonio Gates, who's never a good interview, is totally, like, chill.
Man,
Sterling Sharp could have just taken the mic and talked for 60 minutes straight.
Well, and he's been in the media for a long time. How about him telling, I don't know, she handled it with a lot of grace, him telling Melissa Stark, when we worked together, you spent a lot more time in the hair and makeup chair than I did. I knew what he was saying, like women generally do, but it was just a funny thing. She was like, aw.
I mean, that's hardly a hot take. Look at Melissa Stark and look at Sterling Sharp.
No, but it's like, that's, you know, you don't spill the behind the scenes secrets. She's beautiful anyway. Like, so the idea that she needs to get this full transformation.
Oh, come on, Maggie. Men are not that ignorant. Like, we know people have wives. We know how this works.
What could you possibly be talking about? Wayne is in Dallas. Wives. We're asking if Lamar Jackson will be remembered as one of the great passers of his generation. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Maggie, when I first called this show, I used to agree with you a lot and disagree with Perloff. It has changed. It has flipped.
Wayne.
Yeah, Perloff, you are 100% correct. Like, and this is what people need to understand. Yes, the playoffs is the most important, but it's the smallest sample size, literally the smallest. So you're going to take Lamar Jackson's overall totality of his whole career, his whole season, but then you're going to judge him in two or one playoff game, and then you got to hope keep that same energy for other quarterbacks, including Josh Allen, to say that it's just not as important for Josh Allen to win now with the MVP. I just don't know how you can say that. I mean, talk to me.
Well, okay, so a couple things. You're calling from Dallas, okay, Wayne?
Okay.
Do people ever bring up Dak Prescott's postseason record?
They do. They bring it up.
Okay, they bring it up. So let's not pretend like we're just talking about Lamar Jackson because it's a small sample size in the postseason. And we never do this to any other quarterback, okay? Because you're in Dallas and you know exactly how that goes. Lamar Jackson, 3-5 in the postseason, and his passer rating, which has nothing to do with the outcome of the game, just how he performs, is wildly lower than what it is in the regular season.
Can I say something to that?
Of course.
People, they deem John Harbaugh this amazing, great coach. I don't know why. As Ravens fans, we don't know why. He should have had more Super Bowl wins with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. They underachieved in that era of Joe Flacco. So it was a lot of bad play calling. If you notice, when the Ravens go to the playoffs, a lot of their playoff games, they stop running. Why did they run the ball six times versus the Chiefs when Chiefs was – so, y'all, everything is being blamed on Lamar. They're putting him in positions sometime where, of course, he's going to play bad. So, you see what I'm saying? Like, we got to have –
so you want to blame the coaching staff. You want to blame the coaching staff, but you could also say that they did the right thing, by the way, by bringing in Todd Monken. If they had stayed Yeah, they did. If he made that change on his coaching staff to get Lamar to, you know, have somebody in there who could make him a better passer. And if they had stayed with Greg Roman the whole time or whatever, who's a notoriously run-first offensive coordinator, I don't know if Lamar even takes the steps that he's taken. But, you know, Wayne,
I agree with that.
I know as a Raven fan, you probably think that the team should have won more titles. But to be honest, like Tom Brady, for the most part, kind of had you. Now, you won in Foxborough, you did, but he had you.
They destroyed them in Foxborough, destroyed them. So that's right, they destroyed them.
Okay.
Huh?
Two times.
I'm gonna let this, and I'm finna let it go, though. But you see what Justin Herbert is doing with Greg Roman, them stats don't look that good, and you are correct that he needed a change, but like Perloff say, that doesn't take away from him being the greatest or one of the greatest passers that we have. You know, like he's getting better every year.
I'll give you work in progress still, Wayne. How about that? We can meet in the middle, and maybe you will come back on my side, the Lamar, side of good and light.
You're calling Lamar Jackson a work in progress?
Yeah, as a passer.
That sounds crazy. By the way, guess who the all-time leader – well, not the all-time leader, the current leader in passer rating in the postseason is. Just take a guess without looking it up.
Like forever?
No. Current quarterback. For some reason, Tony Eason and Jeff Hosteller are 1 and 2 all-time.
Hell of a run there by Hosteller, right?
And then is this Pat Ryan, P. Ryan? I don't know how that's possible, former Jets quarterback. But anyway, current guy.
Lamar.
No, we just did. Lamar has a low rating in the last segment. I mean,
Russell Wilson?
Daniel Jones.
Wilson's up there. No, it's Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. And he's done nothing. Mm-hmm. You know?
Can I just give you one other thing here about Lamar Jackson in terms of the passer rating? So he led the league last year 119. Really, really good. The year before, 102. He's had three times in his career where he's had an above average passer rating. So that leaves 1, 2, 3, 4 other years where he is not. So as far as above average passer rating, 3 and 4 in that area. I'm just telling you, like, and the postseason is the lowest. So I can't get there yet.
Well, Harbaugh said, though, he's a passer now. So the last 2 years have been fire.
Yeah,
so
Monken. Great. They're in year 3 now with Monken. It's been a revelation.
Yeah, I think that's sort of Harbaugh's point, too. They got receivers. Finally. I mean, their receivers were terrible in some of those years. Just awful. So anyway, I think he's going to keep on trending up. The passer rating, by the way, you're not going to like some of these quarterbacks. Stafford, Matt Ryan, CJ Stroud, who we don't think of as a great postseason player yet. It's kind of a hodgepodge. So passer rating the postseason is a weird stat.
Also,
that's all I'm saying.
Can I just end on what we got? Bogus here's got all the big stuff from MLB trade deadline, all that stuff in a moment, but Lamar Jackson under way more pressure than Josh Allen to win a Super Bowl. I mean, it's not, maybe not way more. It's not a cliff, but like, come on.
I don't think that's way more. I think they're kind of.
I think it's more. I mean, you have two MVPs versus one. I think that's think of what two MVPs does. That puts you in a completely different stratosphere.
I think it's kind of a tie.
I mean,
50-50.
Josh has gotten further more times than Lamar has.
Yeah, he's a better postseason player. I thought that gives him a little more cover.
I mean, to me, the closer you get, the more it is that you have to win.
Okay, then Burrow should be under the most.
No.
You're going to use that metric.
You know how I feel. Burrow, I think that one Super Bowl, I don't want to say it was a fluke, but as a team, I think it was a fluke. I don't know. He's not a fluke, but I think the team was a fluke.
But if that's the metric.
But the Bengals have missed the playoffs the last 2 years, right? Like, the Bills have still been there. Like, they've been right on the cusp. even up until last season. So it,
yeah,
to
I
me,
feel like Allen's dragged worse, you know, drag teams that Joe Burrow couldn't drag to the playoffs.
I think the narrative really is people lump. They say Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have to win a Super Bowl. I see that sentence all the time.
I do too.
If we put up a poll, I'll bet you it's 50-50. If we should, who has more pressure, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen? I would think it would come in at 50-50 because they're kind of lumped together. They're both MVPs and super, super elite. So
EJ Lamar brings up won a good an MVP point in his second year. Josh Allen was still throwing the ball to God knows who in year two.
Well, I just think that EJ brings up a good point, though. Burrow was, I'm sorry, Josh Allen's been so good in the playoffs. So that kind of actually adds to the pressure a little bit instead of takes away.
Bogues, you've got the headlines, the latest and greatest. Good morning.
Good morning. All your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at progressivecommercial.com. Oh, the Padres, Yankees, Mets, Astros, among the teams that took care of business before yesterday's trade deadline. And then there are the Pirates and the Red Sox. Pittsburgh remains confusing and infuriating and maybe the best example of why the sport needs to fix its bottom before stopping the top teams from spending. The Pirates had a couple of enticing rentals, but only traded closer David Bednar for a relatively meager return from the Yankees.
That's right.
Outfielder Tommy Pham, infielder Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Isaiah. A playoff.
They all remain on the roster for no good reason this morning. GM Ben Cherington's other trades were salary dumps, were brought back little, so this team basically did nothing to make it more enticing for Paul Skenes to stay there long term.
I have a question for you as far as a job, right? Would you rather be the GM of a team where nobody's ever expecting you to do anything, and the only time you get criticized is because you don't get enough when you're clear sellers at the deadline, or like Brian Cashman, who has all the payroll in the world, or A.J. Preller, all the payroll in the world.
And you're saying you get to chill as the GM of the Pirates.
Well, I'm saying the Pirates, Ben Cherington might get fired, but the expectation there, like, you could also sit there probably for years and years with zero pressure to win anything.
1,000 times out of 1,000, Brian Cashman. I'll tell you why. Not because of the ability to win. But I saw Moneyball, and the facilities look like crap on those cheap teams. I can't imagine the Pirates have nice offices. I mean, maybe they do.
Pittsburgh's
but
great, though. Nice offices. Like
beautiful.
A bad water
I love
cooler,
that.
Bad
well,
coffee
I'm just
machine.
Saying, in Moneyball, the cheap team, like, you basically had to pay for a soda,
yeah,
as
David
I recall.
Justice.
I so I just think the amenities, the lunch, the restrooms, I think are probably much nicer. But maybe Pittsburgh has a nice
well,
office.
I mean, PNC Park is a beautiful facility. Yeah, it's not Oakland Coliseum.
Yeah,
and I also think that you're giving the Pirates too much credit for having a plan like Moneyball. The A's were trying to win. The Pirates are just doing nothing.
Do they put all that money they make from the TV deal into the offices? Then maybe I could protect them.
It's not on the roster, that's for sure. Maybe they have sparkling gold marble.
Yeah, like let me see a picture of the break room there in Pittsburgh, and then I will make my decision.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Maggie.
No, I was just saying, like, getting to be the GM, I mean, one of the biggest perks is it's got to be parking spot right out front.
Yeah, that's huge.
Your own bathroom.
I think the owner gets his own bathroom. You think the GM definitely gets his own bathroom?
You think he's got an ensuite in
there? I think so, because I think they're expected to, like, sleep there and, like, shower, and you got to be, like, on 24-7. Well, maybe not the Pirates guy, but other GM.
He works every other day. He's part-time.
He's actually on vacation.
The Pirates guy,
now,
in the middle of the game, has to go out into the public restroom with all the fans.
He might not
actually,
come
back. That was probably the A's guy. All right. Well, have you guys? By the way, I went to Facebook once, visited it in California.
Oh, the headquarters, actual, not the website.
Yeah, the headquarters.
I also did some ex-girlfriends.
Their break room, you could not believe it.
The hell
it
is was, Facebook?
It's funny, yeah. Manny.
Well, Manny's young. We get it.
Yeah, we
Wait,
understand.
Tell us about Facebook.
Yeah, it only is Hold like on. The third biggest stock in all of America.
They
it's like
own
driving
Instagram,
the entire
which you're
economy.
Also on.
Like they're front runners in the AI movement. But anyway, I'm not sure what Facebook is. Anyway, their break room has gourmet food that you don't have to pay for. Just you walk in and it's like, oh, do you want a ramen bowl? Do you want like a full meal for nothing? It's just free.
Well, you know why they do that. So that people never leave.
Right. Yeah.
My friend worked at Amazon for a long time. They could do spin classes there. They had all this fancy stuff. They would pass around appetizers at 5 o'clock, but you cannot leave. You have to stay there and work.
Yeah. I think as somebody who loves food, the break room would probably fool me and I'd give them free labor just to hang out.
Well, I'm sorry. My friend worked for Google. At Google, they do.
And you remember here when Google had floors in this building, we'd be on the elevators, all these happy people walking back with beautiful breakfast, lunch, ice cream. I don't think they paid for that. Yep.
They're all giddy. They all
look
very young and happy.
They're like, ooh, it's tie night.
Yeah. I'll stay.
There's like a ping pong table.
Where do we have a corporate cafeteria here? I haven't been here that long.
Moving on. In Boston, the Red Sox are the second AL wild card this morning. So they are in a good position theoretically, but the best additions that their GM, Craig Breslow, could manage were struggling Dodger starter Dustin May and veteran lefty Steven Matz.
We pursued a number of really impact opportunities. Obviously, not all of them work out, but it wasn't from a lack of trying to be as aggressive as possible, from an unwillingness to get uncomfortable. But ultimately, it takes two teams lining up for for those trades to line up.
Now, I think that's that guy's mic. That's nonsense, but it's the only thing you can say as a GM, and it's completely like, you can't prove it right or wrong. Like, I tried. I made offers. The other guys got to say yes, and they didn't say yes. So you can be mad, but I tried to get this guy. And how will we ever know?
Our very own Andrew Kaplan is in our chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Big Red Sox fans says, wow, so glad they traded Devers. They really used that money wisely.
Yeah. They stink. He stinks.
I thought they might have actually missed the deadline. I thought it was a Jerry Jones situation where they told him the deadline was tomorrow.
Day.
Yeah. I was like, what is going on? Red Sox, like, do they know what's happening?
He's looking at his fax machine. You're like, where are the offers coming in?
This thing plugged in. That's funny.
Though there were just two games last night while all these players were moving around. The Mariners blanked the Rangers 6-0, breaking their tie for now for the last AL wildcard spot. Cal Raleigh with homer number 42, and the Braves won a thriller in Cincinnati, 12-11-10. Each team scored 8 runs in the 8th inning of that one. Yes, there was football last night. The Chargers running away from the Lions in the Hall of Fame game in Canton, 34-7. The aforementioned Trey Lance, 2 touchdown passes for L.A., while Detroit QBs combined for 3 picks. Terry McLaurin reportedly wants a trade out of Washington with extension talks still not going well. McLaurin ended his holdout Sunday, but is for now chilling on the PUP list with an ankle issue. The Valkyries and Mystics had the WNBA stage to themselves last night. Golden State only scoring 6 points in the fourth quarter, but still won 68-67. And typical Knicks yesterday. Look at me. Look at me. I'm important. We won round 2. Let's have a parade. Mikal Bridges signing a 4-year extension worth $150 million right in the middle of trade deadline coverage.
Don't be mad because Drew Timmy is your best player, man.
You need better NBA ammunition than the Nets. I really don't care. But there is apparently a Giannis update nestled in all of this.
Because what's
that? Hoops Wire says the Knicks got intel before finishing this extension that Giannis is not going to ask for a trade. So they felt okay locking in Bridges, which also triggers he can't be traded now for a while, and theoretically he would have been in a trade possibly for Giannis.
I mean, they traded 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges, right? Like, they had to extend
and a
that
swap.
Guy.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't gonna let him walk. And there really isn't. He's on an expiring deal. You're not really gonna get a comparable piece to replace him. So it made sense just to sign him.
You know that Giannis keeps telling us. You know, it's funny. Giannis like, I love Milwaukee. And we're all like, no, you don't. You know, so I feel like.
No, he's passive aggressive. That's not us. That's him.
It's a little
he's
bit of us.
He's being weird.
It's a little bit of us. He's like, I love the Bucks. I can't wait to go back. And we're like, haha, showed you he wants out. I mean, we are doing a little bit of that.
He sat with that guy, Speed.
Yeah, and he said.
I chose Speed.
Yeah, he said, I can't wait to get back to Milwaukee.
Yeah, and he said it like it was a hostage situation.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe that's just the way he communicates. You're reading his body language, which I understand. And I think we're all super. Assuming he wants out. Maybe he does want to stay. Maybe he enjoys it there.
He may enjoy it there and also be doing this weird power play thing.
He just can't keep doing the, well, they better show me that we can win the title thing anymore. He can't do that anymore. Because
if you choose to stay, you chose to stay.
Yeah, because they signed Miles Turner. That was their move to show you that they're trying to win a title. Like, that clearly is not a championship team. So just say, hey, I want to retire.
I love it here.
I want to retire a Buck. And guess what? A lot of people would just, like, commend you for that. It's like, great. He won his title. He wants to stay on one team. Just say that. Why are you doing this? Well, I want to stay here, but they better show me that they can win a title here. Like, don't do the two sides thing.
The other thing, too, quickly about Giannis, I know we got a lot of football to get to, but I mean, the other part, too, is, you know, make the move behind the scenes to team up with the guy that you want to team up with, like the NBA.
Yeah, he did.
With who, Dame?
Yeah, yeah. Dame got hurt.
Dame didn't want to go there. It's like he even got there. He was trying to get to Miami to play with Tyler Herro before he wanted to go to play with Giannis. That thing kind of was like doomed from the beginning, and then obviously Dame got hurt.
Well, by the way, the Miles Turner deal was lauded as a big victory for them. They got him because they had no money because of Dame, and everyone's like, oh my God, I can't believe he went there for less money. Like a lot of people wanted Miles Turner.
He didn't have a great finals.
I know, but like they didn't have all this money to spend, and they were able to get somebody after Brook Lopez left. I thought that was well received. Well, like I saw a lot of A's for the Bucks for that.
It was received well because people didn't understand how they were doing it because the signing came first before Lillard leaving. So people were like, how do they find this money? And
that's
then
the
Lillard
issue.
Left. I'm like, oh, okay.
But even when Lillard left, they still have that Lillard. I don't know. It works like the NFL, right? Like Lillard still causes cap problems for them.
Not fully. So they're basically paying. What Lillard's salary was is what's left of the Lillard buyout plus Turner's salary. So they didn't, it's the same, like the same $50 million, but instead of all going to Lillard, it's like split between the two of them.
Hmm. All right, little NBA update there. Thank you so much, Bogish. We've got a lot to do, including Terry McLaurin says that he wants a trade, as you just heard from Andrew Bogish. What would be the perfect spot? We've got that next.
Snitches get stitches.
Terry McLaurin has asked for a trade from the Washington Commanders because of this prolonged contract holdout snafu. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray. Andrew Perloff, so glad to have you. To me, this feels like page 3 of the contract holdout playbook. It has not worked out that the team is not, you know, they can't get to an agreement here. So now you got to go to the trade request to try to get some urgency and get some new headlines here. Ultimately, I still think he is going back to Washington. But Pearl, if you were going to design the perfect trade partner for Terry McLaurin, who would it be?
Well, one thing, you know, they're going to play hardball, right? Washington, because he's older.
Yeah, he's
30. So what I imagine is going to happen is other teams are going to call his agent and say, we'll give him that money. Because I do think other teams, I'm thinking of teams like the Patriots and Raiders jump to mind, who are really, really thin and wide receiver. They got to spend on some wide receiver. So I would think that those two teams jump to mind. The Patriots are getting all the buzz. Like they just have no speed whatsoever on their entire offensive skill set, and they have a great young quarterback, a promising young quarterback. Like there's no team to me that needs him more than the New England Patriots, except maybe the Washington Commanders.
Well, I was going to say, it's the same draft class. It's the same for quarterbacks. It's, you know, it was Jaden Daniels taking 2 and Drake May taking 3. And I'm not saying everyone has to copycat the Patriots. God knows they have their flaws now, but if a team that is in a similar situation as you is saying, we want this guy, doesn't even that make you think, well, maybe we should hang on to him? Because where's that production going to come from the Commanders if Terry McLaurin is gone? And Debo Samuel is not going to fill that gap.
Absolute issue. No, Debo Samuel's who does not look light a sprite of foot in training camp videos. The Commanders need him too. But if this is true that Terry McLaurin wants to get paid right below Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase at $35 to $40 million a year, I don't think the Commanders are going to do that under any circumstance. So that means McLaurin would have to hold out. It seems unlikely at 30 that he's going to hold out.
Yeah.
So you're right. The most likely scenario is there. But I got to tell you, if I'm the Patriots, I do make a call. I don't know who Terry McLaurin's agent is. Say, hey, we'll pay him. We'll pay him. Put more pressure on him. And then he could just try desperately to push a trade.
Yeah. Can I tell you what the sports books are saying? So they still have the Commanders as the favorite to keep Terry McLaurin. Patriots are next at plus 450. Then the Raiders. Then the Titans. Then the Chargers, Jets, Browns, Steelers, Cardinals, Seahawks. It goes on from there. This is my question about the Commanders. And listen, you're not paying your quarterback yet.
Yeah.
And everything now in your franchise is about that guy. And I think Dan Quinn, even as a defensive head coach, would tell you it's all about Jaden Daniels. This is whatever you have to do for however it takes, for as long as it takes, you've got to make sure that he's in the best position to succeed. And I don't understand why, when there's already a lot of pressure to follow up a shocking run to the NFC Championship game, there's already going to be the pressure and weight of the world on this kid to try to even get close to replicating that. Why are you taking weapons away? Like this, that feels like what bad teams do.
Well, the GM, Adam Peters, grew up in the Patriots organization, and they never gave
And 49ers, who do pay guys.
But the Patriots never put anyone around Tom Brady. They're like, we have Tom Brady. We'll pay him. We don't need to pay the receivers.
Well, but Tom was never even taking the max. Like
he was taking. I mean, he was taking a huge amount of money. He got a massive salary. But the point was, they were like, they didn't want to pay up for wide receiver except for that brief flurry of Randy Moss, which they got for a song.
Yep.
So basically, I mean, there are other ways to approach it. They might think Jaden Daniels is so good. We don't need to overpay wide receiver. Yeah. But, I mean, the other thing, too, they did lose Deami Brown, so that hurts. There's no speed on Washington either. But you have to admit the Patriots really need a Terry McLaurin. They need somebody because Drake May, there is absolutely – he does have Stephon Diggs, an older Stephon Diggs, but there's nobody who is scaring anybody to cut the top off the defense. There's nothing like Drake May is going to be limited by his weapons even more than Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, expectations wildly different of, you know, we're thinking maybe could the Patriots be a playoff team. Meanwhile, Jaden Daniels, people are saying the next step for you is Super Bowl. So I would say you're just ahead of schedule if you're Washington, whereas for New England, you're kind of right on schedule because, you know, Drake May didn't even start every game last year. That started off with Jacoby Brissett until he got hurt. And here's another thing I would say about the Drake May Patriots thing. You know, they have Stephon Diggs already as that older guy. Now, he's older than Terry McLaurin, no doubt.
Right.
But how many of those guys are you putting around a young quarterback, right? Like, don't you want somebody who's going to grow with your guy? Like, who's going to, you know, you want to create maybe that connection like what Joe Burrow has with Ja'Marr Chase. Do you want them on the same kind of timeline? And Terry McLaurin and Drake May aren't on the same timeline. The reason why you keep him for Jaden Daniels is because, A, he's already there,
yeah.
And two, you've seen the production. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the same timeline means, by the way, you have to pay them at the same time. Let me give you one more team that desperately needs Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
Can I read you the starting receivers for your Las Vegas Raiders?
Jacoby
Myers, Trey Tucker, and right now on this depth chart, Dante Thornton Jr., they could use a Terry McLaurin because you have a really accurate downfield passer in Geno Smith. Who's he throwing to other than Brock Bowers? So they definitely need some speed on the outside.
Oh, you don't know Dante Thornton Jr.? DTJ? I know, I know.
If you could spell Dante, I'll buy you lunch.
Oh, how does he spell it? Something unique?
D-O-N-T apostrophe E. Maybe that is a nice.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess the Raiders, they're probably thinking that Geno's so accurate he'll be able to find guys in stride.
No, I mean, that's a problem for the Raiders. They definitely are short. And the team we saw last night, obviously, the Chargers are very thin at wide receiver.
So I'm a little surprised, Pearl, you've been so fed up with contract talk, right?
Yeah,
wanted to ban contract talk from the show, the Micah Parsons stuff, Trey Hendrickson. You're just not into any of it. Yet this Terry McLaurin thing has really got you.
Well, they go to New England, I think, next week for joint practices. And I just, for some reason, I want to see New England be better. You mentioned the timeline. I want to move that timeline up.
Yeah. Well.
So I kind of fantasize. Maybe it's an Eagles fan in me wants Terry McLaurin out of Washington, too. It does seem, when McLaurin got that report out there, whoever did, his representatives, that he wanted to pay in the high 30s, I'm like, well, that's not happening. There's just no way the Commanders are doing that. So maybe something could happen.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I don't want to, you know, take it to a place that's not X's and O's and like what, rah, football. But there's also like a vibe check. I think that this would not be good for Washington. You know, you have all these positive things. This is the one negative thing. You had so many negative things for years. The owner, all that stuff, like they couldn't get out of their own way. Coach after coach, quarterback after quarterback. Now you got something super positive. Everything's trending in the right direction. And 3 weeks before the season, you're going to trade one of your homegrown awesome draft picks that you hit on, third round wide receiver who became a Pro Bowler.
Counterpoint: you don't want to be the Cowboys and give every player $40 million 2 weeks before the season or a week.
Mm.
Like I think great teams don't overpay. I mean, the Chiefs let Tyreek Hill go.
They already won a Super Bowl with them, though. Like they got what they wanted out of Tyreek Hill. The Commanders, they've gotten, you know, they're just starting out.
Not overpaying seems like a common ingredient in dynasties, though. And I think Washington, for sustained success, you can't get all clogged up with old receivers. But that's why, meanwhile, I say go get them, New England.
Yeah, okay. Again, 888-710-4ISN if you want to weigh in on Terry McLaurin. We've got some interesting, I don't know, coaching strategies and styles from Brian Schottenheimer, which we'll get to. And also, we're checking in on the Texans. We're going all state of Texas football next. MVP.